Hello, everybody, and welcome to In Depth, presented by the San Antonio Express News. My name is Luis Vasquez, and I'll be your host as we bring in journalists to give us an inside perspective into the stories they bring to the Express News each week. Today, I'm joined by Chuck Blount, Paul Steven, and Mike Sutter. They joined the show today to discuss the effect of the devastating freeze and how it affected ranchers and farmers. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, dude. Howdy, y'all.
So, I feel like we've, over at the Express News, we've covered a lot of the what happened along the political side with ERCOT and the grid. And you guys have an interesting story of how it affected ranchers and farmers and food providers in our region. Let's start with you, Chuck. Can you give us a brief overview of your reporting?
Well, what was shocking to me was the effect on the animals. I grew up in Iowa, and you know, where it would be, you know, sometimes 0 degrees, negative, you know, and animal loss was almost unheard of. Because they do their calving seasons in the summer, and down here in Texas, they do their calving in the like now, you know, like March and mid-February, because obviously the temperatures are usually more prime than they would be when it's 100 degrees outside every day. So they were literally calves being born at area farms right now when it was 6-7 degrees, and obviously, you know, they're wet, you know, when they come out. And some of the ranchers tried their best to get to them and put them in warming stations and things like that, but they could not get to them fast enough to save a lot of them. So there was a lot of calves that were lost in the cold. A decent amount of fowl, you know, chickens, quail, things like that also succumbed to the cold weather, but it didn't have a drastic effect on the bottom line of really any of these ranches to too much of a degree. But there were some losses there that are gonna sting for a while. And you know, as Paul and Mike can attest to the crop end of it, it was a serious thing. There's no way to minimize it, that's for sure.
One of the most striking pictures in the article is from Linda and Larry Starnes, where they're just standing in front of their devastated crops. Tell me more about the Starnes.
It has kind of a Dust Bowl aspect about it, doesn't it? Like a frozen Dust Bowl, that's got to be the worst kind. A story I loved about Linda and Larry Starnes, if you don't know them, they're sort of casually known as Grandma's Garden. And if you've had the Grandma's Garden pizza at Playland, then you've had some of their chili peppers, some of their tomatoes. They're extensively used by Rebel, Botica, Clementine, some of the best restaurants in the city. But pretty much lost everything that was above ground. Everything, the things that were below ground, like turnips, root vegetables, things like that, they saved those. But what was above ground, well, that was it. And the photo of them together on the land is especially poignant because she's 71, he's 74. They work that land on their own by themselves. So they don't have anybody that comes in and helps them to do that. It's just the two of them. So it's poignant, not just in the revenue that they're going to lose for the next 2.5 months, but on the must be that physical toll that it's going to take on them as well.
Speaking of that, there was another picture of the goat cheese at Goatlicious, Robert and Claudia Rangel in New Braunfels. Mm-hmm. They lost, like, what is it, say, at $3,000 in goat milk?
Yeah, they, Robert, their ranch is completely on an electric grid, and they have well water and everything like that. But with the power that went out, they had to, they didn't have any hot water. And so, and then their pumps didn't work to get the milk out of the goats, and the goats they need to be milked at least once a day. Usually Robert does it twice a day, but they need to be milked once a day. Otherwise, you know, they're just the whole goat DNA, I guess, gets altered in some capacity. So one of his farmhands milked what they could by hand, but they had to just dump the milk out because they couldn't guarantee, you know, that it was sanitary and everything from, you know, pieces of hair and whatever else, you know, maybe that might fall into the bucket. So they were mainly just milking the goats to make sure that, you know, they were going to be okay from a future supply angle. But yeah, I mean, you do that by hand from something that used to normally have a machine and you're going through all those animals, then, needless to say, he probably had a few calluses on his hands he'll have those, on his hands for the next few weeks, I would imagine.
You have a section in the article about small farms. A lot of the small farms do provide food for restaurants. As Mike said, we already had the pandemic, so I'm assuming restaurant business was down to begin with. How is this going to affect small farms moving forward? Are they going to be okay? Or what's going to happen?
It depends a lot on the farm and what kind of product they're growing. The folks I spoke to, Cody Scott over at Green Bear Farm, he was particularly vulnerable because of what he grew. He does tomatoes in this kind of crazy vertical greenhouse contraption, and that allows him to provide tomatoes out of season. So local restaurants that want local tomatoes in February and March were able to get it, but he's not going to be able to satisfy those customers for a while. He lost 2,800 plants in one night that all had fruit on them. So I think it kind of depends on who's growing what.
And did any of these folks talk about anything that, I mean, any sort of assistance or from maybe a government assistance program or anything like that from the state? And has anyone you've spoken to talked about anything like this?
I think they're still in a state of shock, honestly. The one silver lining or some good news was that I did talk to a farmer who said they, you know, in, you know, early to mid March, they're already in the process of trying to convert to summer crops anyways, you know, your tomatoes, your peppers, and, you know, everything else. If this happened a month ago, it would have been a heck of a lot more of a loss than it was in this time frame. So there's at least that. Now, granted, everybody lost quite a bit, but there, you know, there was at least the calendar end of it. There was a little bit of relief.
And so is there anything else you guys like to tell me about the people you spoke to? Or I don't have it in front of me, but there was a farmer's market. They're trying to sell what they can.
Well, it was Michelle Steubing. On Wednesday, she's going to be selling what she still has on hand in front of her farm. And then she's going to be at the a farmer's market in Bernie on Saturday with what she has. She's also going to be bringing eggs and things that she has canned over the last year and just whatever she had left that didn't get wiped out.
All righty, guys. Well, I know we're looking at the silver linings here, and a lot of these folks were really hit hard. But I appreciate you guys coming on the show and talking to me, and I appreciate you guys reporting on it, because I feel like there was so much in the week after, and it's easy to get lost in the politics of it all and who we're going to blame for everything, that it would have been easy to overlook a lot of these small farms and ranchers. So I really appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, and one other thing is, everybody that is in the farming and ranching industry, they know they know how uncertain everything is. So you know, even though there was a lot of loss, you kind of know what game you're playing, you know, when you get into this. So, yeah,
All righty, guys. Well, I think this is a good place to end it. I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. It's always great to talk to you, even if we're talking about something not so great.
Well, thanks. I feel the same way.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
That was Chuck Blount, Paul Stevens, and Mike Sutter talking about the effects of the devastating freeze 2 weeks ago on Texas ranchers and farmers. Check out their full story over at expressnews.com.